Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight I'm delighted to welcome along Motherwell FC communications manager Grant Russell. Grant, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, thanks for having me.
Well, obviously you arrived in late October, but we've not quite had the chance to introduce ourselves. But welcome to Motherwell Football Club.
Thank
obviously
you.
And your arrival from STV, 8 years there. I've spoken to you before about it, yeah. And you said the intensity levels were quite immense. So 8 years on the back of that, and then you come into Motherwell.
With the intensity levels are tenfold.
On the brink of a cup final as well, so yeah. That's quite an introduction.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm absolutely loving my time here. I mean, to touch briefly back on STV, you know, it's 8 great years working in the broadcast industry, whether it's website or TV, and, you know, it's a great job to have. I got to the stage where I would find myself having the conversations with friends or on social media, and even with Alan Burrows, like, constantly saying, oh, clubs need to be doing this, club needs to be doing that. And eventually got to the point where one of them said, well, why you come do it then? And, you know, and I always wanted to do that kind of thing. And it was absolutely the right time and absolutely the right football club, because, as we well know, we have a very progressive leadership here. We're all quite forward thinking. We're all wanting to, you know, not change what football clubs are, but we want to think, what is a modern football club look like? And we have a support who think like that as well. So the opportunity to come in and just have these great cup runs, have this great squad, have this great support, and these great opportunities to change things that needed changed here. It's the perfect storm, quite frankly.
So as someone that was an outsider looking in and being impressed by the work that was going on, were your impressions when you first arrived that was exactly the case and there was a lot to work with there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially in my department, in the media department, with Lewis Irons and Al O'Reilly and Ross Clarkson, our analyst as well, who works out at the same office and is always chipping in ideas. I mean, this is the there were no shocks when I came in here. You know exactly what you're getting from this club. You know that in terms of a media output, of a hone in on that, for starters, know what they're doing. And I want to easily, before I got anywhere near it, were one of the best in Scotland for how they communicate with supporters, the type of media content they do to try and be engaging and showcase the club. And of anything, all I've tried to do is build on that.
And you mentioned the kind of leaders at the club. It's obviously you had a friendship with Alan Burrows before you arrived at the club. How big an attraction is it to come and work with Alan? You kind of see the reaction of his promotion yesterday, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. People from inside football, supporters, a kind of widespread appreciation for the work that he's doing and the dedication he's got to his job. Do you think the pool of actually working with Alan is quite something?
Undoubtedly, because I think you could probably go and try and do this job at many football clubs and not have the leadership who fully grasp and understand exactly what it is you're trying to do, and also have a leader who is constantly at your door every day suggesting ideas and pushing you on. But that's because of Alan's background, and he's full of ideas and been there, done the job, got earned his stripes and moved on up. Yeah, the thought of going in another football club where you might be left more to your own devices, or someone might just say, I don't really know what I'm doing here, over to you, or even maybe the opposite, where you have a lot more constraints, which would perhaps be the case at some clubs, would be a lot less appealing. So to be able to come in, you know what you're getting. With Alan Burrows, it's someone who's going to push you, but is also so forward-thinking and so smart-minded when it comes to media output, that a huge attraction, and it's absolutely lived up to his billing.
And you mentioned Ross, Sally and Lewis, who have won, been there, kind of won the awards on the media side of it, and they've set the bar high for you there as well, so that's a wee bit of added pressure, I would imagine, coming in, and you've got to straight away fit in and then build it to that other level.
Absolutely, because when I was the guy on the outside who was constantly saying about clubs, they should be doing this, should be doing that, and then if I turn up here and suddenly don't do that, well, that's egg on my face, isn't it? But you've got a department here that, like I say, guys who are doing amazing things beforehand and are so talented. And I think that comes across in the work that we do, just how incredibly talented these guys are. And as a football club, the size of football club we are supremely lucky to have guys like this. And I think that's appreciated by the support. I mean, you see the things that we do, whether it's the videos we've been doing recently, Ali's graphic artwork, the posters he does on match days, even small things like that, that you can say we're really, really lucky, because how difficult it would be to put a team like that together with the limitations we have, whether it's budget or size. It's an incredible team.
Yeah, and it can't be underestimated either, the hours these guys put in. Quite often we're sitting here at 6:45 and
yeah, they've just left, and even then sometimes we'll be here past that.
Yeah, and that's not a rare occurrence, is it?
No, absolutely not. These guys put in a remarkable amount of hours, and it's out of pure passion for the club, and knowing that, well, they love working at Motherwell Football Club, and they know that the things we do are exciting, and they know that the feedback they get makes it all worthwhile. And whether that comes from the support, comes from the management, the playing squad, they love their jobs, and I love my job. And I'm not saying that to be kind of cliched and romantic about it. It's genuine, and that's how you get the best out of people, if they can genuinely come in and say, I really enjoy my job and I really enjoy what I'm doing. Because any walk of life, any job, if it's a grind, if it gets you down, if the thought of coming to work fills you with dread, then it's not a pleasurable experience, is it? But these guys genuinely, and it's reflected in their work.
No, absolutely. And it's not always positive in football, of course, and you came in on the back of the departure of fan engagement officer Ryan Murnt, who we had on the podcast on a couple of occasions, and don't get me wrong, it would be averse of me not to mention the things he came in and implemented, but by the same token, he was a quite divisive character amongst the supporters. Some people weren't sure about whether his role was justified, some people found him to be a bit abrasive in social media. There's a kind of few elements to it, but obviously Ryan did move on, you've come in. You've noticeably been a wee bit more behind the scenes. Has that been something you've deliberately done after seeing?
No, absolutely not. I mean, certainly from the outside, I would say Ryan, and also since I've come in and seen the foundations that are laid here, Ryan did a fantastic job in many of the ways the club communicates with its supporters. I mean, that's just something that's inherent in people now. They know how to speak to fans when they come in. They know the good things we do around the club, whether it's even Steel Man or Signing Zone or so many things, how we engage through surveys. Lay great foundations, absolutely. To speak for myself, my kind of disappearance from the public sphere has purely been down to the work that I felt needed to go in. And it's very easy to disappear from Twitter now that I know that I've got so much going on. I mean, we'll touch on it, but there are so many projects going on here over and above what we do day to day, and a cup final on the horizon. No, it was certainly not an intentional decision. It's just something that happened. And certainly, I would actually take it as a bit of self-criticism. It's like, I see it even in the last few weeks that I feel I need to be more, front of house, if you like, and more engaging. And I will be. I think it's want to be able to get all these massive things off the table first, and then be that person who can be another link for the fans to communicate with the club.
It's quite a first month coming in the club in a cup final. Not something that happens very often, although if you just landed in this planet this year, then you maybe think differently. Straight away there was the projects like the Time for New Heroes. Mm. As much as it was a fantastic, really emotive video campaign, and it really got everybody absolutely pumped for the final, it must have been quite a good way for you to to find out more about the club and the supporters as well.
Absolutely. When we wrote that script, and it was, okay, we sat down as a team and said, what does it mean to be a Motherwell supporter? What does it mean to come from this town? What does this club mean to people? And even what does it mean to the players and the management squad that we have here? And that's how we tried to reflect it in the video, whether that was the use of the imagery in it or the words. So, yeah, that was a kind of... Coming in, that would have been in the first month, yeah, it would have been within a matter of 3-4 weeks. So that was a quick learning curve, but maybe that was the best thing that could have possibly happened. You didn't get any time to go and dawdle on what does Motherwell mean. So you just find out quickly and you see what the reaction is. And I think and hope that Time for New Heroes really kind of reflected again. I mean, it's not just me, this is, you know, it was the media team and it was a wider pool of people in here who contributed to that, and supporters as well, who were able to feed back to us, and hopefully that came across.
For all the final didn't go as we hoped, the video still remains. I think there's a piece in the Herald today, Scott Mullen, and it's mentioned.
And Time for New Heroes, the phrase even sticks as well. I heard the post-match interviews the manager was doing after the semi-final there, and they met a journalist, I don't know if it's coincidence or not, who will say, oh, is it Time for New Heroes? And you're like, all right, maybe it's just the most cliche-ridden thing ever, or maybe it's stuck, you know, and I'd like to think it's just stuck. This idea of Time for New Heroes, and I imagine it will be something we use again for the Scottish Cup final.
The week that followed the final was obviously, you go from the high of reaching a final and everything that came with it, positive PR, to a very difficult week on and off the park, the late penalty and the subsequent statement and the reaction from Brendan Rodgers. Suddenly you're very much thrust into the spotlight. There was a lot of negative reaction from Celtic supporters. There's the usual kind of social media barrage, I suppose. How difficult was that for you to deal with, just on the back of...
Not really, because that would have been the last 8 years of my life getting abused every day. It was tame, frankly. Nah, I think coming into a club and then suddenly having a situation, let's call it a situation, of various things that happened, you have to just go with kind of gut instinct, and you live and learn. And I would say if we had our time again, we would maybe review and go, well, how could we have handled that differently as a club? And touch wood, something like that doesn't happen again in the near or medium future at least. But it was a learning curve. I would say that. I completely concede that. I think there's some things we did brilliantly well, and then some things we maybe go, okay, maybe we could do that better. But people make mistakes. You learn from your experiences and the things you do. So it was an interesting time. But if you'd asked me about social media abuse, that was tame, sorry.
You talk about that, when you're putting that much work into your work,
yeah,
and there's a kind of, football's obviously full of emotion as well. The, as I say, the high of being at Hampden for the final, the disappointment of losing it, and then Celtic turn up 4 days later and we're so close to taking the 3 points, only to concede a late penalty, a dubious penalty. It must be hard to keep the emotions in check in these instances.
That night, it was the draw here in particular that really got me. It was maybe the moment you realise you've become a Motherwell supporter. Genuinely, I mean, it gets under your skin, and it has ever since. And it had before, but that was the moment where it hurt. It hurt badly. And it hurt everyone around the club, and it hurt all the supporters. But that was the kind of seminal moment where we were like, oh, I'm in something here. You know, this matters.
Did you think that when it had seemed to die down, and Brendan Rodgers, far from it, I mean, tried to tell you to go and take a dig at him, but it kind of dies down, and then Brendan Rodgers almost kind of lit the torch paper again with the comments about the laptop. Do you think it could have just been put to bed that little bit quicker?
Look, I would never tell anyone how they should react to anything. I think it kind of goes back to what I said before. We kind of live and learn by events that happen, but I'm not going to be the one here sitting in an ivory tower saying, oh, very disappointed in how X did Y. No, absolutely not. I mean, everyone has their own reaction to thing, and frankly, it's now chip paper, isn't it? It is firmly in the past. I mean, it's never been discussed since. You know, we had the kind of post-mortem, if you like, after it, and then we move on and are able to do so many great things since, whether that's on or off the park. So, no, it's very much at the back of mind.
No, absolutely. And since then, it has been incredibly positive, and I know there was a disappointing December, and then you've got to pick yourselves up. And again, it was the media content, I think.
It was Tenerife, wasn't it?
Tenerife, then followed by the incredible reaction to the Peter Hartley video as well.
Oh yeah, that as well, I forgot about that.
Within the space of a couple of weeks. So
yeah, yeah.
But for me, that showed how much the players and staff are on board as well with this, and that must be a huge, huge help to you.
I mean, I've only ever worked at one other football club, and that was Livingston for a year many moons ago, and I was very young. I was, goodness, how old would I be? 20, 21. And I can barely remember what the playing squad were like there, but it was a very different times and a different time in terms of media and the things you could do in social media. But I've even surprised myself coming in here and seeing a playing squad who get it. They've realised the value of being able to do these things. Even going to Keith Lasley and asking him to pay pie face. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. But it's engaging content. It's something to support because it's human. For me, this type of media content, whether it's silly stuff we do or serious stuff we do or interesting stuff we do, it humanises the characters we have in this club and brings them closer to supporters, because certainly my experiences of football would be footballers are over there and they're untouchable. Whereas we are a community-focused, fan-owned club. And it's not, and I would be a complete dereliction of duty and failure in my job if you couldn't get to see what the personalities are like of our playing squad and management squad, and somehow they're on a pedestal. It shouldn't be like that. And I think that's what we've tried to reflect. And the playing squad and the management are fantastic for that. They get it. They do stupid stuff with us. And they're completely on board with it.
That's how we've talked about it on the podcast before. It's a video of the Liverpool players getting on the team bus. Uh-huh. And the fans are waiting on both sides. And I think with the exception of one or two, they don't even acknowledge the supporters are there. They're straight on the bus, and it's a kind of us and them mentality. That kind of content just brings everybody together. And like, oh, Keith Lasley plays pie face, so they are. You know, it's so...
I play FIFA, and so does the manager and his son. Yeah. I mean, that was such a good one. You see a father and son playing FIFA against two great characters in Gael Bigramar and Cedric Kiepre. But that's just so relatable, isn't it? I think that's kind of one of the key things. Would you ever think you'd see Stephen Robinson playing a game of FIFA? You know, but these things are just, that's us. I think that sums up what Motherwell Football Club is. It's like, we're not afraid to do the things that make us maybe seem a wee bit daft, but humanise us and bring us closer to supporters, because that's what you want. Do you want to sit there, this is my approach, do you want to sit there and just watch press conferences every week? And they're not always the most interesting things. No, you want to see players doing things that make them, you feel like, oh, I do that as well, or that brings me closer to them. Well, the big one for me, I know I'm prattling on about you, the big one for me was Nadia Chifchi when he joined this club, and you maybe had the same feeling. It's like, oh, Nadia, he's a bit of a checkered history if you look at it, and you don't know him, and what's he going to be like? And a number of people say, no, he's not going to fit in the dressing room here. And honestly, I met the boy on the first day and I thought, how can anyone have this impression of him? He is the most down-to-earth, nice, bubbly, kind of infectious guy who is like, he's life and soul. And it's like, okay, we have an onus now to say, to get it, to somehow get this out there. And Heads Up in Tenerife was the perfect one, because it showed the character and it showed that he'd bonded with teammates instantly. And that's not staged. You can't stage that. They're not actors. You know, it's real, it's genuine.
And I suppose in a footballing sense, that helps as well, isn't it? Because you look at guys like Gael Bigramar, who seems absolutely mental, to be perfectly honest, but he's always doing these things with a smile on his face. It doesn't seem to be any sort of burden to him, no. Despite the fact that in a Saturday, quite often in recent times, he's not been in the starting 11, yeah. Perhaps not getting off the bench, but these things can help the management team in terms of, it's keeping the morale up, it's keeping these guys feel involved.
And it reflects actually what the squad and what the dressing room's like. And it's one of the biggest cliches in football, we've got a close dressing room, you know, everyone, but it's real, trust me. And I think that's reflected here, that, yeah, you can have guys like Gael who maybe aren't in the starting 11 every week, but their heads aren't down. They're part of the squad, you see their interactions with any player, their mood, their morale is always high. Okay, Biggie's morale is maybe always higher than most folk. But,
it seems so.
You know, but I'd say that's genuine throughout the squad.
We get to the current day, and within 6 months of arriving, we're now looking forward to the the second cup final that you'll have witnessed in your time at Motherwell. A few days have passed and we've all kind of sobered up and just about in some cases. How much are you enjoying this? The results obviously play a part, but it just seems the mood around the place, it's reflected in the supporters, it's reflected in the playing staff and the supporters' relationship with the playing staff. It's just a very good place to be just now.
I mean, I'm jammy, aren't I? To come in and have two cup finals and a squad doing well on the park and a great kind of squad mentality. I mean, it's fantastic.
There's people that are talking on Twitter and other social media that for the first 40 years of their life they didn't witness a cup final. And
then this boy rocks up and gets 2 in 6 months. Yeah,
you quite often feel that that's the worry with the kids, but I actually think that this happens every single day. It's obviously roses, but it's just it is so positive just now.
Yeah, and it is, and I think even if we hadn't have got to a cup semi-final or a cup final, we would still be saying the same thing. You know, there is a great positivity around the club, and as I've said already, it's reflected in the media stuff we do. But I mean, I think we've tried to really increase the volume of the media stuff we're doing, particularly video, because there's several reasons. One, we want to showcase the playing squad we have. We want to build those relationships with the fans and humanise folk. We want to just give more Motherwell content because everyone laps it up. You always want more, you know, and it's great. And it's also, from the club's point of view, the more videos we can do or the more engagements we got on social media, that can have a long-term impact for the club, whether that's growing the fan base at home or elsewhere, but also commercially. I mean, let's not, I mean, this is a commercial enterprise, this is the football club, and the advertising market is there for social media as well, so we're very aware of those opportunities, and as we create more engaging content, then maybe we'll bring more money into the football club, and that won't have an impact on anyone because it's, you know, it's like, can be an advert or it can be something that's there, but it can actually do something real and tangible for this business, which is vitally important. We don't just do it for the fun of it, we do it for all the reasons outlined. They all have equal importance.
Yeah, absolutely. And yesterday's training video, the hard work never stops, and that's clearly been demonstrated just an hour before heading up here. The partnership with Ticketmaster was announced. Mm-hmm. Another step into the 21st century, I suppose. And that's something that has been moaned at by supporters in terms of ways they're able to get tickets. There'll be people facing long journeys down, perhaps not on a match day, to pick up cup final tickets and so on and so forth. Ryan Murn had said in a previous podcast as well, it's a perfect opportunity to target market.
Absolutely.
With an online database. So, first and foremost, it seems like a massive positive.
Oh, I mean, bringing Ticketmaster on board is so positive in so many aspects. And I guess the headline ones are the ones you outline. We have a football club where you can't buy tickets on the internet. I mean, we did a survey of the Well Society members, and because it's all very well for me to sit here, or Alan Burrows sit here, or Ryan Munt sit here and go, oh, we need to sell tickets online, we need to do this, but it's like, well, we went to the Well Society and we asked, and we canvassed the membership, and I think it was almost 400 responses, and 75% of them said, the current form of how we buy tickets is not fit for purpose. Okay. Great kind of jump off point. Well, there needs to be a change. The number, I think I've got in front of me, of people who wanted to be able to buy their tickets online, whether that was through the, you know, their computer or their mobile device, was, here we go, so it's 66% on my computer, 66% online via my smartphone or tablet. You know, clearly that's something we needed to do. So Ticketmaster will enable us to do that. The other kind of advantageous part for the business is one you mentioned as well, about knowing what the Motherwell fan looks like and be able to tailor our communications with supporters. At the moment, we have an email database that you get occasional mail shots, but they're general. And it's like, okay, so I pluck an example from my head here, but let's say we want to have more birthday parties at Fir Park, because, you know, that would generate money for the club. At the moment, we will send however many people on our database one email saying, fancy having a birthday party at Fir Park? That's a waste of time, resources, and that's for the club and for you, because you're not going to have an 18th or 21st birthday party any time soon, neither am I. What's the point? You know, that's not targeted marketing, and it's too general. But if I've got a database, and we don't have it at the moment, we will have. I have a database going that can flag up and go, these 50 people have an 18th or 21st birthday party in the next 6 months. Let's send them this. As long as you've agreed to receive mail from the club, and I'll point that out, getting Ticketmaster doesn't mean we're starting to bombard you with stuff. It'll still be the same as any sign up for anything here. You can say you want to receive communications from the club or you don't. And I will stress, you only receive them from the club. You won't get unsolicited things from Ticketmaster or anything like that. It's all owned by the club. But it's just being able to be smarter and be able to do things. And I've just plucked one example out there, but there are so many where we can go, let's be able to focus our attentions and really tailor messages to people who need them, because that will maybe go, I never thought about having my 18th at Fir Park. And it helps the commercial department be able to fill up space, which in turn puts money into the playing squad. You know, all the, and it's circle of life, if you like. So that we need to get more focused. And that's a big part of bringing Ticketmaster on board. Because we have a ticketing partner at the moment. People maybe don't realise this, we have a ticketing database, and a partner provides that, and we sell tickets using their platform. When we announce Ticketmaster, people go, oh, suddenly Ticketmaster going to be the ones that sell Motherwell tickets. It's like we're replacing firm A with firm B. We still sell the tickets. Every penny you spend comes to Motherwell Football Club. There will be no booking fees on home matches or on season tickets. Every penny comes into the football club. Ticketmaster, the facilitator, if you like. And they're a huge company, and they will be able to bring so much expertise to the table and tools that we'll be able to use. Just make it genuinely such a fantastic deal for the club. I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, that's it. You've addressed one of the concerns that was voiced in the aftermath of the announcement. Just kind of having a look through the forums before we started, another concern, an obvious one, I suppose, is away supporters in home sections of the stadium. I would assume that the database, it'll need to be a loyalty system or something like that to avoid.
What will happen is we have a current database of everyone who's ever, you know, bought a ticket for Motherwell Football Club, which we used as checks and balances at the moment. That'll carry the cross. If you're a season ticket holder, that's getting carried across, and you will get a message from us shortly saying, time for season ticket renewals, here's your Ticketmaster login. Or if you don't want to do it online, you can still come in the ticket office, don't worry, and do it the way you've always done it. But just to let you know, if you want to, you can renew it online, and it will cost you exactly the same as it will if you walk up. There'll be no fees, anything attached.
And obviously that will do away with the old kind of system of books as well, which is a bit of a move away from...
Yeah. See, that's what I thought. The reaction, I thought one of the things people would say is, doing away with season ticket books. Maybe that's still to come. I don't know. No, we're going to replace it with cards. For several reasons. One, it's much easier. You can put a card in your wallet. We haven't made the decision yet, but we maybe don't necessarily have to replace season cards every year. It might just be that's your card for, well, we decide however many years, and all you do is when you renew your season ticket, you bring in the card and we upgrade it, or if you do it online, it just gets automatically upgraded. So you have that, and you'll have a nice Motherwell thing in your wallet. I realise that's kind of I remember having season tickets when I was younger, and it was always a great thing to have, but you'll get your card and it'll get scanned at the gate and all those kind of things.
I've always kind of worried about the 40 vouchers that I've got at the back of my book at the end of the season, so it'll certainly eradicate that problem.
Yeah, it's moving with the times, I get that, and obviously tradition has a massive place, but we need to evolve as well. And maybe we kind of have a kind of roadmap of where things go from here. So eventually we want to get to the stage where we have a loyalty scheme, you know, and if you buy something, you'll get points for loyalty points that you're able to turn into Motherwell rewards. And I know that sounds very Tesco club card, but if you look around other clubs, and Major League Soccer in America is the one that I always pinpoint for a multitude of reasons, but all these American sports and these clubs, they reward the supporter for their loyalty. Do we do that at the moment? No.
No.
You get certain things, you get discounts there, you get, you know, we always appreciate our supporters and we reflect it, but it's like, all right, can we set up, or if you do this, you get invited to this Motherwell party with players or something, you know, it's like there's...
Yeah, cause it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you look at, for talking sake, semi-final kickoff time, supporters do quite often feel like an afterthought in these situations, but there's only so much the club can do about it.
Yeah.
I suppose what you're saying here is the things you can control, it's about time that the club start controlling them.
Oh, absolutely. And that goes back to when we were talking about data and how we can best tailor communications, whether it's about we can reward you for your loyalty, your support, so many different things, whereas in a moment everyone's a bit scattered just for various reasons down here, where it's been the inability to invest for whatever reason, or because I think the especially with Alan, the thought processes have always been there. I didn't just turn up and reinvent the wheel and go, oh, by the way, we should have online tickets. Everyone knew that. Everyone knew that we should have better data on our supporters. It's just being able to be in a position where you can do these things, and I've kind of been in the fortunate position. The timing is absolutely perfect and we're doing these things. And tickets is just one of the many things. Scoreboard, I can't lay claim to. That's all Alan Burrows. I know it's a big one. New website, and maybe that's on your list of questions. But I mean, that's on the way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As well, I'll just finish it with the final one on the tradition. And we mentioned that as well. There will be maybe a few people concerned about the now traditional way of going up to the ticket office and buying a ticket or paying at the turnstile. Will that still be a
absolutely
method available?
In the we've not completely ironed this out, so we'll put out the details probably around the time of season ticket renewals. But what we've discussed is for the first, well, however long it takes for people to get familiar, we will have a hybrid system. So if you're well used to coming up and paying at the gate, then we'll still have that facility. At absolute worst, we'll have it that you can come round to the ticket office and buy there, then go round. But in our minds, we think we'd still want to have a hybrid system where you can still pay at the gate and gradually get used to it. Because, I mean, I'm 31 and I'm getting to the stage where I don't like change. And there'll be mother supporters who've been coming here for decades and decades who, if we turn round tomorrow and said, by the way, you can't pay at the gate anymore, you need to buy online, we're not stupid. Clearly, there needs to be a system where we accommodate everyone's needs. Whether that, if you're a traditionalist and that's what you do, whether you're saying, you know, screaming that you want to be able to buy them online, we want to be able to make it easy for, because this is the key thing. We want to get as many people through the gates as possible, support Motherwell Football Club, buying season tickets, buying whatever, coming here and supporting the team, and we have to find ways to enable supporters to do these things rather than put up obstacles. So that's what we're trying to achieve.
And you've very inadvertently, albeit, found a way to stop me moaning on my next point here. The announcements made earlier on today, and you go onto the website.
And it crashes.
Because anytime there's any sort of big news or any sort of announcement, really, you go on the website and it doesn't work.
Oh, you'd be as well coming back 4 hours later. I get that completely.
There now seems to be a kind of trend of someone screenshotting it if they're lucky enough to be the first person on. But that's obviously another priority, and the website is, for a long time, needed overhaul.
And it was actually one of the first things we did when I came in. So we've taken our time, because I think when your website's quite so antiquated as it is, there's no point rushing into it. We know the limitations, we know it's outdated, we know it crashes every time you come on it. But there's no point panicking and throwing anything up and then getting 2-3 months down the line and going, this isn't fit for purpose either. So we've really spent our time thinking, what does the Motherwell Football Club website need to look like? And hopefully it will look like one of the best club websites you've ever seen. I say that without any kind of, blowing our own trumpet, but we genuinely believe that it will be. And also, what does a football club website need to have on it? And again, we did a survey. We asked people, you come on the Motherwell website, what you're looking for. And so we'll tell, so you'll see this one, and we'll talk more about it when the website comes live, which will probably, I don't want to put a date on it, but it will be before the new season, 100% before the new season. You come on it and you get the kind of things that you want from a Motherwell website. And if you want to find out other stuff, that'll be there, but we'll prioritise things like first team, building up to the match, all the things that folk have said. That matters to me, rather than, I think some, I might be speaking out of turn, but I'll say it anyway, some football clubs will think, oh, a website is just a place, especially the homepage of a website, is somewhere where I just take everything we've got and chuck it at it. It's like, no, it can't be like that. We need to be more targeted and give the supporters what they want from a website. And again, like we've done with the ticketing system, we've not just gone, oh, we know what folks want. We've asked the supporters, because supporters are absolutely crucial. What's the point in developing something and then people don't get use out of it? So that's been fundamental to what we've been trying to do.
And
a new server, by the way.
Yeah,
I promise.
Sounds positive. Will that give an opportunity to align things as well? For instance, the Welsh Society website doesn't talk to the club website.
Yep.
You've got under-20s content, ladies' content. It's all kind of a mishmash at times.
Absolutely.
This will give you a chance to collaborate everything, yeah, but also have different sections, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, without boring anyone, we've developed brand guidelines for what are the colours that you have to put in to get the exact Millwall colour online, what is the correct use of the badge, and how do we unify the whole Motherwell brand, if you like. I can hear myself saying this, but it matters, trust me. So we've taken a lot of steps in that regard. We've not been able to get it precisely, but we were able to get what it will be. You'll come on the Motherwell website. If you then go to use our ticketing area, it will look the same. It will have the same colours, same layout, exactly the same. We hope to have the ability to live stream our games outside the UK and Ireland to our exiles from the start of next season as well. Again, that will look like a Motherwell website. And there are other elements as well, Welsh City, that will come in on the new website as well. There are other elements that are going to take a bit more time. Absolutely, the key for us is being able to unify so everything that is Motherwell, whether it's first team, under 20s, the women's team, a community website, it all looks the same. It's not fragmented. You're an unequivocal, no doubt, oh, that's Motherwell Football Club. And that's not just in colours, imagery, that's in how we talk, how we use our words. I mean, I don't know if it's something that listeners have noticed, even out the way we talk on social media. Now, we used to put a little emoji at the start and then write the message, and it was quite corporate, whereas now it's like it's a lot more conversational and engaging tone, and we still use the emojis. We use them differently, but that's intentional. We want Motherwell to have a voice. It's like, that's Motherwell Football Club talking. We're training folk to say, this is how you write for social media, this is how you talk to supporters. And it's a lot more on the level. One of the things, it's Lewis especially, I always say to him, it's like, if we have a good bit of funny or engaging content, I'd be like, right, see if you were going to share that with your mates. Now, what would you write when you were saying, and somebody would be like, oh, have you seen this? It's like, what would you say to your mates? Think like that, because then that's engaging to the supporter, isn't it? It's engaging to you and me. It's like, oh, and that makes you want to share and makes you want to watch it. So it's all these things tie into brand, if you like.
So just to finish up in the things off the pad, that sounds like you're going to have a very quiet close season and a lot of projects, and that's before we even really start considering the season ticket drives as well.
Yeah.
And a cup final in 4 weeks time.
I mean, it's absolutely relentless, and I mean, these projects have been going on for some time now, easily from the start of the year, maybe even before, but like I say, we've taken our time. It's like Ticketmaster wasn't something that was decided overnight, because it was like, oh look, it's Ticketmaster, aren't they, brand leader. No, we went out to the market, we talked to every company going, and we looked at the pros and the cons, and we spoke to supporters, and we made very meticulous decisions. And it's the same with anything new we're doing. It's like, we don't rush anything, we listen to feedback, we carefully consider every step we're taking. And that I does mean that that when you have cup finals or you have busy times, all these things are also going on in the background, but would you have it any other way? I don't want to be sitting here next year with nothing. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we'll enjoy it. Well, we've got it, even if, and we work hard, but we do it for the supporters, we do it for this football club, because we genuinely feel like media content, that engages you, the supporter, that makes you feel good, you enjoy it, and the things we're doing behind the scenes, that's for the benefit of the club in the long term and the supporters.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll finish on the football. There's obviously 5 games in the league left. Still a couple of points required, I would say, to just ensure our status.
That's the Motherwell mentality, isn't it? It's in me as well. You're always looking over your shoulder.
Well, I don't want someone throwing this back at me in 5 weeks' time as we're for the playoff. And
yeah.
But things are highly positive, and the build-up to the cup final is going to be exciting for everyone. It's exciting just now, so I can only imagine how we'll feel kind of the 15th, 16th of May.
Goodness.
I would imagine there's a lot in place in terms of plans for content and build-up.
Yeah, and we're still developing stuff as well. There's maybe even time for new heroes will be coming back, because I think we've hit on something there, and that will be something we do for the cup final. And we will put this out on Twitter as well, but for anyone listening, I don't want to give away the whole idea, but we actually put an appeal to folk for Time for New Heroes this time. If anyone has any, as unlikely as it might be, if anyone has kind of any home kind of camcorder recordings from 1991 of maybe them getting ready to go, their family getting ready to go to the game, or even something they got of the open top bus when they came back, if you've got it, we'd love to have it. We'd love to incorporate that kind of thing in this video for the cup final, because when we say Time for New Heroes, I think people will automatically think, oh, you mean the boys that play in the final would be the heroes. They would. But I think, certainly from the conversation I had now, and Burrows always says this as well, it's like, I think 91 was kind of a seminal moment for a lot of young Motherwell supporters, that it hooked them undoubtedly, and is, there are many reasons why you stick with a football club for your lifetime and keep supporting, but 91, if you were the right age, just would absolutely be the catalyst. And we want to kind of build this kind of idea that the fans are the heroes as well. And it's like, however many thousand we have at Hampden, however many supporters from afar at home, they're the heroes as well. You know, because this is the fan-owned club playing in the second cup final of the season. I don't mean that to sound corny. I genuinely, genuinely mean it. This is, we are all as one. This is not a playing squad of support. We are one thing. So we'll look to try and get across in the new Time for New Heroes. We've got a few other ideas we'll definitely keep under our hats, because we want the element of surprise and want the impact, like we did for the semi-final videos, with the Ready or Not, was that the kind of camp, I think it was. So much goes on.
It was less than a week ago.
And, but even wee things like the players at full time on the pitch, and we got someone in who's very talented to film the, to be on the pitch with the players and capture that moment, and maybe it's taken for granted, I don't know, but it's the amount of views on it and engagements in it, it's absolutely insane. And every time I see that opening shot of Richard Tate in front of the fans leading the clap, it's like, it's incredible stuff. So we'll have things like that as well. Goodness knows what else, but there'll be plenty of build up.
My observation was today that I think it would be fantastic if we could all change our bank PIN numbers away from 1991 to 2080. So I would imagine about every season ticket holder is currently. So, not that mine's is 1991, but, or that you've got my PIN number, mind you. Yeah. But thank you for all your time tonight. It's been massively appreciated, and best going forward.
Yeah, no, thank you. And like I say, if I've been quiet on social media or whatnot, I'm still out there, and the club is always listening. So if anyone has ideas, if anyone wants to suggest anything, you know, we're doing remarkable things here. We think we're able to put across the ethos of the club. We now have 500,000 video views on our digital media content every month, which is ridiculous when you actually see it. 37,000 Twitter followers and 500,000 video views a month. All the things we're doing are for the supporters, and to try and create this idea of, or reflect the truth, which is we are as one. So I hope people will continue to see that, reflect that, and get involved with it.
No, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you again.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Responsibility.